Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Randy joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I'll Tumble For You by Culture Club, early 80s hit. Sending that out to Taylor Jenkins, who took a tumble on behalf of Santi Aldama while arguing a non-call last night.
Yeah, what was your analysis of the Draymond Green, Santi Aldama, Desmond Bane, Taylor Jenkins fracas?
It was so transparent that even before, like, you know, the little fracas, I guess, where Taylor Jenkins fell down and all, even before, like, in the instant moment, it was so bizarre that there was not a technical foul or something. And, like, Santi Aldama's looking at the refs like, what's happening here? You're looking right at this. I mean, he literally turned around, got in his face, and grabbed his jersey, and they just ignored it. And so, to me, I mean, Draymond Green is Draymond Green, but to me, that was a referee. That was an officiating problem last night.
Yeah. If they'd called the tee, then that I don't know that would have diffused it. Like, who knows where it would have gone from there, but that was... He should have called
Taylor Jenkins wouldn't. Taylor Jenkins wouldn't have come out to argue with the referee about not calling the tee, which created the scrum, which, you know, one thing leads to another.
Yeah. Anyway, as a competitive enterprise, it was pretty good until it was 58-58, and then a 22-0 run put an end to that over the course of the end of the second, beginning of the third. Felt like mostly dunks, honestly, on the part of the Warriors, who shot 58% for the game. Good news continues to be Gigi Jackson, this time a career-high 35 points, as you wrote in your piece, the youngest ever in the history of the NBA to hit seven threes in a game. Thoughts on Gigi?
Yeah, he had a really good game. I mean, the numbers got big late when the game was truly over, but he was having a good game before that, offensively at least. No one was having a good game for the Grizzlies defensively last night, and that's a big part of it. But that's, I think, the sixth game in a row where he scored 19 or more. I think that's the longest stretch like that he's had. And, you know, we keep talking about it. Like, he's just way ahead of schedule. And it's impressive stuff.
I was kind of amazed in your piece, the fourth leading scorer among rookies this year. So your consistent view has been, and then I've echoed it because I've adopted it because it seems logical to me, is that while there is room for Gigi to be, you know, a significant impact player next year, you don't want to count on him. Is there anything he has done or can yet do through the course of this year that will make you think, I'm perfectly happy to count on him as a significant part of the rotation next year?
Well, I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter because you don't have to.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I'm not saying Gigi Jackson won't be a certain thing. I'm just not saying he will be a certain thing. Dude just turned 19. I have no idea what he's going to be 6 months from now. And so the Grizzlies don't. It's not a choice the Grizzlies are facing. Like, do we pencil Gigi in as our starting small forward next season or as our sixth man next season? He can be whatever he becomes, and he can be that whenever he becomes it. But they have other options. Like, they have Marcus Smart. They have Vince Williams. If they keep him, they have Luke Kennard. And so you go into next season with a lot of options, and, like, you do whatever's best for the team. And if best for the team is G.G. Jackson starting, then that's what you do. If best for the team is G.G. Jackson's your sixth man, that's what you do. If it's seventh man, eighth man, ninth man, let it be whatever it becomes. Right. You're not in a situation where right now today you have to, like, lock in G.G. Jackson on certain role in the team. Just let it happen. You know?
It is sort of, and it's sort of strikingly different than they were with Zaire Williams, right? Like, they were counting on Zaire Williams with less of, right. with much less in terms of accomplishment over the course of his career. They were counting on him to play a bigger role this year. Like, and you won't be in the, you have a much more accomplished, really, G.G. Jackson, who will be, you know, who is not counted on as desperately because of their other options. Where does, in terms of their let it will it be, how much am I going to be counting on, whatever else, what do I expect from, where does Santi Aldama fit in all that? Obviously, he's looked a little more sprightly lately. Where does he fit?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. He's played better of late. He's had sort of a weird season. There was a stretch of the season where I just felt like his focus wasn't totally there. And I don't know whether, you know, there's some off-court thing. It's the way the season has gone where, like, it's just like, you know, this whole season sort of falling apart for the Grizzlies. Does that impact the way you play? I don't know. He's been better lately. The way he's looked lately is, I think, you know, not fluky. It's him playing up to his ability. He's still very young. He's still under contract. Now he can be extended this summer, and I think that's tricky for the Grizzlies. But he doesn't have to be extended this summer. He is under contract next season, regardless, for like $4 million, and that's good value for him. He's also like a 7-footer who can face up. He's not a great rebounder, but his rebound numbers are actually decent. Like, his rebound rate is pretty decent. And so I think maybe you're willing to include him in a trade because you're not certain what his long-term role is, and because you are facing a contract decision, if not this summer, then a year from this summer. So I don't think he's off the board by any stretch. But I'd be perfectly happy to have Santi Aldama on my team next season. And as far as what his role could be, it also could be whatever it could be. I mean, it's not out of the question. He's a starter. Him and Jaren. You could have him, Jaren, G.G. Jackson, like you've been doing right now. If you put, like, John Morant and Desmond Bane out there and you got other stuff, I don't think that's likely. But, like, I don't roll that out either.
Yeah. You did write set up the lay of the land a little bit on the great center search, or whether it's a center search or big man search or rebounder search or whatever we want to call it, over at the Daily Memphian piece today. I have tweeted it out, urge people to read it. And that's what it sort of is. It's the lay of the land. You start with the idea that whoever it is doesn't have to be as prominent a player as Steven Adams. I guess if you were, I don't know, you do this ranking of Grizzlies players, and I suspect that Steven Adams after last year might have been fourth, for example, the fourth most important Grizzly or whatever else. The player who ultimately fills this role, as you said, might ultimately be a mid-rotation player. A very good chance of that. Yes?
Yeah, I'm talking about minutes and pecking order. Yeah. I mean, you could be a starter and be like, you know, seventh in minutes played, you know? And maybe even Steven Adams was averaging 27 minutes a game, 26 minutes a game, something like that. The more I look at it and the more I've thought about it, the more I've written about it, the more I get into it, the less certain I am that the Grizzlies are as committed to, you got to go out and get a big center, as the fan base is committed to, you got to go out and get a big center. Just when you look at the logic of everything, I think that is in the matrix of things that they might do. I think that they are interested in that, but I don't think they are going to feel compelled that the number one thing that has to happen this summer is we have to get a big old center to put next to Jarrett. I don't think that's the way they're going to look at it. I think they're going to keep their options open to maximize the total talent and total utility of the team. And there is room utility-wise for a big center. That is certainly true. But I don't think they are committed at all costs to, like, getting a big lug. I really don't.
And then, so the next part of the piece is basically saying, all right, well, what skill sets might they have? And so they may not be committed to getting a big lug, but they have to be committed to getting a good rebounder. Yes?
Yeah, I think their preference is to add, and Zach Kleiman said this the day after trade deadline, and I don't think that's changed. he's basically, to paraphrase, he said, you know, our front court puzzle is not solved, that there's a piece to add to that puzzle. And that piece needs to be someone who is has a more physical game, I think, than Jaren, Santi, Gigi, even Brandon Clark, and more of a rebounder. That again, that could be a 7-footer, that could be a 6'9" rugged power forward, it could be a starter, it could be a reserve. It's going to be someone in your rotation who sort of fills that hole. And when you listen to Zach Kleiman talk about, you know, we're trying to get through, we think about playoff basketball, we're trying to get through four series, there are different kind of teams we face, that's a two-sided coin. Because he says in that quote, which I use in the story, you know, teams tend to go small in the playoffs. And you've seen that with the Grizzlies, where they've shifted that way, even when they had Steven Adams. But you're talking about getting through four series? One of those series might be Denver with Nikola Jokic. And one of those series might be, you know, Minnesota with Rudy Gobert. And so you need the optionality to dial down and not have to play a big, slow center. But you may need someone big enough to bang around with Nikola Jokic and those guys, too. So I think that optionality cuts both ways. And so the point that we can't be locked into a big center, I think, is a valid one. But you could counter that by saying you kind of need that in your arsenal, too.
You then go through the assets that the Grizzlies have with which they could acquire this player. And obviously there's the draft pick. What is there, like, the mid-level is not, the full mid-level you do not believe is likely going to be something that will be, would deploy?
I think it is very unlikely the Grizzlies will access the full mid-level exception in free agency. That's not off the table, but they don't have that right now. Like, I think they would have to money-wise, you used to be down at a certain level of salary to have access to that, and they are not there. So I think that might become a Luke Kennard, whether you keep him or use his salary in a trade, but the Luke Kennard contract or the mid-level exception, I don't think they're going to be able to have both.
It's going to be one or the other. Right. Okay.
Yep.
And then you go through names, and I'll let people see.
Yeah, there's a lot, and I don't go into detail on any of them because, honestly, like, I'm just barely skimming the surface of all this, and it's still 2,500 words.
It is the lay of the land. This column sets the lay of the land, and honestly, it's helpful because as you start with the draft, you look ahead to the draft, the NCAA tournament starting, it's useful to sort of see who to look for. By the way, a player projected to go in the top half of the lottery in most mocks last night. Cody Williams was scoreless for Colorado, which is
11 minutes and 0-for-4. That's rough.
Yeah, that's your draft this year. Top half of the lottery, Cody Williams, 11 minutes, 0-for-4. He can play again. They won, so he'll play again. Anyway, let's just take some real quick. Free agents is one category that you talked about.
Yep.
Isaiah Hartenstein, what is his, how would he fit? And what would you think his, the price tag would be?
He is definitely a defense-oriented player. And the problem for the Grizzlies is they're fundamentally stronger defensively, I think, last night aside. I think they're fundamentally stronger defensively than offensively. And so the thing I talk about what's your offensive role on the team,
right?
I don't think he's a great fit there. I mean, he's springy enough. He can catch some lobs. He can set some screens, and he can hit the offensive boards. But he doesn't bring a lot. There's no shooting there. There's not a lot of passing there. But he's a really good – he's a good rebounder, defender, active body. He is – starting for the Knicks right now, but that's because their usual starter, Mitchell Robinson, is injured. So Robinson comes back. They've got their starting center in Mitchell Robinson. Like, how much are they going to pay to bring Hartenstein back as a backup center? Could he be someone who could be a starting center for the Grizzlies? I think he probably could. So, you know, again, I don't think you have the money to sign him outright, so it has to be some kind of sign-and-trade. I mean, any individual scenario is unlikely. That one is tricky, but not, like, you know, it's not impossible to see.
Two names that I'll bring up, both unlikely, but just because they're names. Jonas is number one, and Andre Drummond is number two. Both free agents at the end of this year.
Yeah, both big physical guys who are really good at rebounding. At very different ends of, like, the likely salary spectrum. I know Drummond, even though he's been effective, like he's at this point, he's like a low level guy. So I think you probably could just sign him in free agency, maybe. And maybe that's not a bad like backup plan. It's just the guy who can come off the bench and give you that physical presence. Like I don't know if the Grizzlies like him or not, but I don't discount that. It's like if you're saying, you know, we're spending our lottery pick on some other position and we don't have that much more money to work with and we just need a big guy in our mix, I can see that. The thing with Jonas is there's multiple reasons to doubt that one. In some ways, if there were no history there, you would kind of like it, like because he's become a better shooter and he's obviously a great rebounder. But I think the salary he would demand, you're not going to be able to sign him in free agency, even if you add the mid-level probably. So, like, how do you make that happen? And then B, like, you know, it didn't necessarily go great when you broke up with him 2 years ago. So I don't really see either side wanting to get back together.
I mean, you broke up with him for a stylistic reason, right? I mean,
That's right.
Yeah.
It wasn't like bad feelings, but like he wanted a contract extension and they didn't want to give him one. And so there's a level of rejection to that. I mean, part of the reason he got traded was because he wanted a 2-year extension and the Grizzlies were not interested in doing that. They traded him and then New Orleans gave him the same contract.
Jalen Smith from Indiana, someone that you mentioned. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's in the realm of the more reasonable like ideas that I think people would not be excited about at all.
Right.
He's kind of an under the radar guy. He's a backup player for the Pacers. And he's a little bit on the small side. Like he is more of an athletic, more of a Brandon Clark kind of guy build wise. So he's not. I don't know if he would necessarily be used as a starter. But if you start like looking deep into the stats, his rebound rate is really strong. It's better than anyone on this Grizzlies team. His defensive rebound rate has consistently been higher than Jaren Jackson's or Santel Dahlin's or Brandon Clark's. So he would give you an upgrade on the boards. And he's developed into a pretty good 3-point shooter. So it's a guy who can rebound and then, like, you know, play a role where he sort of spreads the floor and stays out of the way, but he can knock down shots. Like, I think he would be a useful player to have. I doubt someone like that is at the top of the wish list, but also more feasible to actually acquire.
There's many more names. Again, I just tweeted this out. You can read the piece at the Daily Memphian. Do you, like... Do you have thoughts on what might be most likely here or what might be like that? You didn't sort of.
I mean, the easiest thing to do is draft a center. Easiest thing to do is like, you know, you end up with a 7-8 pick and you say, you know what, we're going to take Donovan Klingon or we're going to take Kyle Filipowski. Or maybe you end up with one of those picks and you trade back and then you draft that player and then you add, you know, something else of value. That is definitely the easiest route to go. And that might be what happens. That very well might be what happens. But if they have some other pick and they look up and they're convinced that, you know, Reed Shepard's the best player or Montrezl Bozelis is the best player or whoever, like I don't think they have their sights set on we have to get a center out of this. I think they're trying to get the best player they can to impact their total team this year and beyond. And if that's not a center, you do something else and then you figure it out after that.
It is interesting because with the Donovan Klingon thing, who I was reading more yesterday about what adept passer he is. We've talked about how Oklahoma City, you felt like maybe needed that player, and they said, "Yeah, we haven't gone out to get the big bulky center to put next to Chet Holmgren." But it will be interesting. Like, it's possible that the Grizzlies and Oklahoma City, who will be picking both, you know, Oklahoma City a little behind the Grizzlies, it feels right. Like. They also have a million assets. It may be that you're going to, you know, there will be a contest to jump over the Grizzlies to get Donovan Klingon. I mean, I have no idea what they think of him or what his health situation is. But he looks in the abstract, more than Kyle Filipowski in the abstract, honestly, as a player who would fit this. Doesn't he?
Well, yes. All that is true, but that is presupposing the way Oklahoma City is thinking, and that is putting a conventional way of thinking,
right,
which I'm not saying conventional is wrong. Conventional might be right. But it's putting the conventional way of thinking about basketball layered that on top of that team, and that team is top 5 in offense and top 5 in defense and first in the West, not playing that way. So, I don't assume like they're looking at it and saying, we got to get the big guy next to Chet, because like, guess what? They're top 5 on offense and top 5 in defense. While being 28th in rebounding, top 5 in offense, top 5 in defense. And the goal of basketball, and this is complicated stuff I tend to say from time to time, the goal of basketball is to outscore the other team. It doesn't matter how you put the puzzle piece together to accomplish that goal. What matters is accomplishing that goal. And they're, like, really good at that goal this season.
What's fun, though, too, is that as we embark on the NCAA tournament, there are a bunch of centers who we can watch, who you can think about. Donovan Klingon is one. Filipowski is another. Baylor, right here in town, has an athletic center who's supposed to go top whatever, 20 anyway.
15, top 20. Top,
15, 20 anyway. I mean, Zach Edey, for the reasons you discuss, his usage rate doesn't seem like he'd fit the mold necessarily. But there's a bunch of big guys who are going to be in the tournament. The wings aren't necessarily all in the tournament, and Cody Williams isn't performing. Like, a lot of them are in the G League or in Europe. But the centers we can watch, except for Alex
Saar. Here's another thing. We keep talking about this lottery pick, right? And I don't think the Grizzlies are necessarily looking to put I think they are looking to put two rookies on the team. But I don't think they're looking to put two rookies on the rotation.
Yeah.
But, like, we're talking about Eves Lessie might go 20, or like Zach, I don't know if they like Zach Edey, I have no idea, but Zach Edey might go in the 20s, or even the high second round, or Khalil Ware, who's not in the tournament, might go in the 20s. They got a pick at 38, and they have other stuff. You could, like, attach a future first to that pick and move up to 22 and, like, take Eves Lessie and still, like, draft Reed Shepard or whatever, you know? And so, because there are so many centers in this draft, and because the Grizzlies do have, they got a pick at, let's say 7 and 38, and they got other players they can trade, and they got all their future picks. There's ability to maneuver around in this draft. It's not as simple as just maneuvering with that lottery pick. There are other things they could do.
You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. I'm getting excited about the draft now, Jeffrey. And it is true. Like, we're going to be able to watch all these centers in the NCAA tournament. You know, the wings are like, whatever. What's the Risache? Like,
sure.
They're playing off in the G League or Europe or somewhere. Centers, we get to watch them all. Except for Alex Saar, who you figured doesn't seem like a fit.
Yeah, and then we get to watch, obviously, Kentucky's guards.
And we get to watch Kentucky's guards and Tennessee's guard.
Correct.
Tonight. Yeah, this is fun.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.